Hello, and welcome to this episode of What's Wellness Podcast, a place where I discuss the physical, energetic, mental, emotional, and spiritual components of wellness, as well as your healthy relationships with yourself, with one another, and with the planet. I'm your host, Alia, founder of Alia Yoga and Alia Yoga Academy teacher training and mentorship programs. And I'm so excited to share with you the amazing interviews that I have in queue, many of which I conducted in the spring of 2021. For the sake of getting these to you, I'm going to hold off on long intros and haven't yet brought back wise words or warm words of the week, but hope to again when I have a bit more time to focus on the podcast. There are a few of you who contribute financially to this show now with a monthly donation of any amount that helped me tremendously so that I'm able to provide what I hope is inspirational and educational content here. To those of you who participate in Sunshine Yoga, my weekly live virtual donation-based vinyasa-style practice, and to those who contribute donations to this podcast, I want to send an extra special thank you so very much for your support. There is a link in the show notes below to support this podcast with a small monthly donation that I would love for you to take a moment to look at and see if you're inspired to contribute. Now, for a brief word about Anchor and then the conversation portion of today's episode. Thank you so much for being here, and please stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into What's Wellness Podcast today. I am, as always, very excited for today's special guest. Michael is here to talk about mold and mold remediation. Michael, welcome to What's Wellness Podcast. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is such a delight to be connected with you, and I'd love to ask before we jump in, what's wellness look and feel like for you right now?
That's a really good question. So I'm on a personal journey to take at least 10,000 steps per day. So as of right now, let me tell you exactly where I'm at, 8,285 steps. So wow. I'm off to a good start. It's only 12:30, I'm about midway through the day, and I still have my afternoon walk and my after dinner walk. And, I basically made a commitment to myself mainly because that I've been living this sedentary lifestyle lately with, COVID-19 and working a lot more from home and things like that. So, I've really had to make it a point to just keep my body in motion to stay healthy.
I love that. That's a great goal. I also share that goal, and it's such a feel-good moment when you hit that 10,000 and beyond.
Yes, it really is.
Love it. So, Michael Rubino, you wrote Mold Medic. Can you tell us about that book?
Yeah, so I decided to write this book. It's called The Mold Medic, and the reason I wrote it is because I've been working in the field, specifically with people who are sensitive to mold or, have other predispositions that make them sensitive to mold. And so in this journey, I've realized that the way I do things and the way I really look at and view air quality in general, it's vastly different than the way the industry itself looks at mold remediation, air quality, and things like that. So I decided to, there's a reason why I'm such a niche-based person, where I'm contacted by so many people who aren't feeling well. And air quality is definitely something that they know to be causing these adverse health reactions. And I started realizing that, well, the way I view things, everybody should view things that way. And if they did, we probably wouldn't have the air quality problem that we have today. So I started detailing my seven to 10 year journey into doing what I'm doing and writing basically, the different pieces of the puzzle. And putting it in a book so that everybody can benefit from the research that I've done. Yeah, that's kind of what led me into that path. And now I'm actually writing my second book, and I'm pretty excited to get that one out as well.
That's fantastic. What a cool thing. So, how did all of that get started? Did you experience mold or mold toxicity?
No, actually, I do. Currently, I haven't in the past. It's definitely not why I got into it. I got into it because my father has been a contractor since I'm about 5 years old. And primarily, I worked up in the Northeast. There was a big Hurricane Sandy that came through and created a lot of devastation up there. And, unfortunately, when you have like a big massive event like that, you have all these fly-by-night contractors that come from all over the country to profit off of this. And so that's exactly what happened. People came in, they weren't really doing things right. We're just rushing through houses, trying to, basically make as much money as possible. And for 7 years thereafter, I was still re-remediating houses that have already been quote unquote remediated. And mainly it was people that are contacting me that weren't feeling well. And that's when I started really putting this together that, well, A, first off, mold can make people not feel well, which I know is always a topic of controversy. B, I saw firsthand that a lot of companies didn't really know what they were doing. They were just following, archaic protocols, which basically had this, and I can't wait to dive into this with you to give you a further explanation, but they were just doing things the way they really had been doing them all along, which doesn't necessarily mean is the right way. And they were forgetting some major pieces of the puzzle, which as I started to look at the science of it, I realized that these pieces were missing. So that kind of really catapulted my journey. I took what I learned from my dad, growing up my entire life and being around construction, and I started diving into the science of mold and how air quality in general can make someone sick. And I started putting that together and created this company called All American Restoration, which primarily focuses on helping people who are sick for one reason or another and improving their air quality so that they can get the relief they need.
Wow, that sounds really important for a lot of people. And I'd love to hear your explanation about the protocols and what you're doing that's different from what other companies are doing. And I'm also curious with regards to some of the symptoms people may experience if they are having mold toxicity.
Sure. I'll dive into that first.
Okay.
It's very interesting. And one of the difficult parts about it is it can sound like so many other things that it's really hard to pinpoint. Chronic fatigue is a big one that we get complaints of with mold exposure. Another one is brain fog, which also can be gut related issues that can cause that. You have red eyes, itchy eyes, scratchy throat, respiratory infections, these allergy-like symptoms that just never go away, just perpetually feeling like you're about to get a cold. Skin rashes, hives, itchy skin, scaly skin, things like that. Yeah, and
Wow.
it's amazing because it's like so many other things, and it's different for everybody. So it's hard to say, if you feel these three things, you definitely have it. There's also with the rise of COVID-19, there were so many similar symptoms with COVID that it was really hard to tell. In fact, there's a term coined the COVID long haulers. Researchers think that it could be potentially air quality that prolongs those symptoms. So it's very interesting. And to dive into the protocols, I have to give you some analogies to bring it all together.
Okay, great.
I want you to look at mold the way you look at a weed, because it's very the similarities I'm about to give you are pretty amazing. Weeds, as we know, they have roots, right? And they grow into the soil. And so what happens if you just cut a weed at the stem? It just grows right back, right? We all know that. Weeds also produce seeds. The seeds get aerosolized when the wind blows. It picks up the seeds. They fall into other parts of the soil. And then, once there's moisture involved, those seeds turn into more weeds. That's why usually once you have, that one weed pop up in your front lawn, you have to get it right away or it goes nuts, right? So mold is very similar because it has roots called hyphae that grow into the building materials. It also produces seeds, except this time they're called spores. And it's the same thing. It needs moisture or water to start to grow. And what happens is when mold is growing inside your home, it's because of one thing. There's water present that allowed the opportunity for it to grow. The other thing is you had seeds in your house that allowed that opportunity for it to grow. There's nothing you can really do about that second part. You know, mold is part of our ecosystem. So you're naturally going to get these spores that come in from outside. But during natural cleaning, and as long as you don't have the opportunity for those spores to grow into mold colonies inside your home, typically they're harmless.
Okay.
Once we have a leak, mold starts to colonize and grow, and it becomes, you know, this problem. Now, mold can grow in as quickly as 24 to 48 hours, which is, I know, something that people don't ordinarily know. They think it takes months or even years, right? So no, it can grow pretty quick. So if you don't dry out a space properly, or you have a leak that, you know, you don't really know about, and it just kind of goes on for maybe weeks or longer, you could start to have mold growing. Now, once it's growing, it's constantly producing spores. That's how it reproduces. The protocols for mold remediation are just to remove the area that you had a leak, right? You just remove the drywall. You do it all under engineering controls to control it, make sure it's not spreading. And then you just, you know, you remove it. Usually you spray some sort of chemical or product on it. And that's considered remediation. And so I started to think, like, what about all the spores? Like, it never talks right about the spores, right? So now if you have an excess of seeds in your house that have been created for as long as this mold was existing, it can get into your HVAC system. Your HVAC system constantly condensates, so it's an active source of moisture, where the mold can start to grow on the HVAC system and become its own mold factory. It also can get all over your stuff, right? And so it may be gone from wherever it was, but it's still getting into your breathing zone. It's still entering the body, and it's still causing you harm because it's not fully eradicated. And so when I started to look at this, I'm like, why do none of the protocols talk about removing the contamination created by the mold? Because if you don't do that, it becomes a bigger problem, and it's
truly,
and it still impacts the body, right? Which is important. That's why you're doing remediation in the first place. And so when I found that missing link, I realized, well, we have to create a protocol that not only removes it from the wall, but also cleans up the contamination. And just to get into more into science, some species of mold produce what's called mycotoxins. It's a toxin that also can impact the body. And some toxins are carcinogenic. They can cause their own set of adverse health effects. And, you know, typically because it's a toxin, we know all toxins are toxic. That's why they're called toxins. You know, they're going to produce problems in the body that, again, we're not really conscious of because these things are so small that you can't see it. So with mold,
wow,
those little spores we talked about, they're between 2 and 4 micrometers in size. So to put this in perspective,
that's tiny.
That's tiny. The human eye can see as small as 50 micrometers. So it's roughly 25 times smaller than what you can see physically. You know what that means?
You can't see them.
That you can't see them. But you know what else it means? By the time you can see the mold on the wall, there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of it there.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, now you have millions getting into your air quality, getting into your HVAC, turning your... You see how problematic this can get. And we've never, as professionals, said, hey, guys, this is much more than just opening up this wall, right? We have to make sure the place is clean properly. We have to remove these seeds and then test after we're done to make sure that we did it because it's microscopic. I don't care how well-intentioned you are or how good of a process you have. You can't see it. You need to test for checks and balances to make sure that this person is now in good shape by the time you leave.
Absolutely. So it sounds like that process really sets your company, All American Restoration, apart.
Yes.
Because you're testing and checking and removing the seeds or the spores.
Yes. So we're not only just removing it in the wall, we're also removing it, you know, the contamination, the spores that produce more mold from the environment as well. And then we work with third-party consultants to do testing. And the reason I say third-party is because I feel it's a conflict of interest for anyone to go into someone's home, test it, say, okay, it's all bad. Here's what it costs to fix. I'll come in and fix it. And then let me retest my own work. It kind of seems like, you know, a huge conflict of interest to me. So what we do
I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. And like, I personally don't like companies that do both. In some states, it's actually illegal to do both. So for us, because we operate nationwide, our philosophy is, you know what, doing both is just a conflict of interest, whether it's legal or illegal. I think that the best way to do it is to have, you know, find really good inspectors. So we have really good inspectors we work with across the country that, depending on where our clients may be, we have those inspectors go in, do the testing that's needed. What the testing does is it'll tell you, you know, okay, in this room you have, let's say, 100 spores of Stachybotrys in that wall, that's got to be remediated. In this room, you have 10,000 spores of Aspergillus, and that needs to be remediated. But it kind of gives you like the different species that you have, the different, you know, accumulation, right? Because some areas are going to have more or less than others. And it kind of gives you a roadmap of, all right, now I know where all my problems are. I'm going to prioritize A and B, you know, because I want to get A and B are the most toxic. I want to remove that. And C and D, you know, from a cost perspective, I'm going to do that and let's call it phase two, right? I'm going to handle that, you know, probably in 6 months when I, recover from spending the money on A and B. And like, you could break things up because at the end of the day, anything that you do is going to improve your air quality. And the average person takes 20,000 breaths per day. So you want to have as little contamination in those breaths that you take as possible so that your body is not adversely reacting to anything that you're breathing in.
Absolutely. Wow, this is so interesting. So can you share with us a little bit about the difference between how your inspectors test versus like a test kit that you can buy and do yourself?
Yes. So what you're getting when you hire a professional is basically this. You're getting a scope of work. A, you're getting the expertise to know where to test. And then B, they're going to take all of the data and they're going to create a scope of work for you. So now you're going to know, okay, I should remove my wall in the bathroom 8 feet wide by 4 feet high, right? You take out all the guesswork. And why that's so important is because you can give that to a remediator like me who will be like, okay, it's going to cost this much to do all this scope of work. These are what the different areas would be. You could break it out if you'd like. You could do it all at once, depending on, you know, what's going on and how much it costs, right? But it just gives you a roadmap. It's kind of like you wouldn't build a house without a set of blueprints. You probably could, but it may not come out exactly the way you want. With mold remediation, you want to have a set of blueprints that really guide you into what needs to be done so that you're not spinning your wheels. I've seen mold professionals, unfortunately, especially remediation contractors, where they're coming up with scopes of work that are insane, all for investigatory purposes, right? So like, we're going to open up this wall for investigation. With testing, there is no investigation. The investigation is already done. So you don't need to open up a wall to investigate. You open up a wall because you know for a fact that there's mold there. So it really takes out a lot of the guesswork, which could be costly. It's definitely going to save money in that regard. And it gives you all of the data. So you know, okay, I got a budget of, let's say, $10,000. I'm going to remediate, you know, this area because this is the worst for $10,000. The other stuff, you know, it's on my B or C list, right? Like it's not impacting the air quality as much as this one is. So this is what I'm going to focus on. It gives you that data so you can make real proper decisions. We have some clients who are so sensitive that they need to do everything at once if they want to have a shot at being able to live in their own home. But not everybody's like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's maybe 25% of the people we come across. The other 75%, you know, they're looking to optimize their health. And, you know, they need real options and real solutions to optimize their health that doesn't, you know, take account into, you know, gutting the house and starting over, right? So having that data is so crucial to really see, like, what's going on and how do I improve upon that?
Got it. Wow. Really wonderful explanation. And I'm very impressed by what you've done and what you're doing. I see that your company and yourself, so Michael and All American Restoration, you've been featured in USA Today, Reader's Digest, New Jersey Monthly and Digital Trends, the list goes on. And you were recently, last spring, a speaker for Indoor Air Quality Association meeting and expo.
Yes.
How was that?
Well, that was fun because basically it's like the new guard trying to teach the old guard some new tricks, right? It was very, very interesting because when I got up there, it was an industry specific conference. So basically most of the people that attend that conference are in the indoor air quality, industry. And so I got heckled by one guy who was actually the old president of that organization because he felt that what I was doing was over the top, which I found interesting.
Really?
Yeah, because, like for him, he was like, man, I don't want to remove all these spores. That's a lot of work. And he started, usually the old guard will be like, well, mold is ubiquitous. You can't build a bubble around your home. I'm like, you're absolutely right. But you also don't want so much mold inside your home that it's causing you to be sick, right? So there's got to be a fine line. And so that's really what I'm coming across is like, look, we want to remove the opportunity for mold to grow in our house. Because we know that if there's so much mold growing in our house, that the air that we're breathing in contains a lot of mold particles, it's not going to be good, even for the most healthiest of people. I have had clients who were triathletes, and competed in amazing events that couldn't even walk up the stairs after living in mold exposure for a year, right? And it was some of the highest levels I've seen. And when you walked into their front door, you would never know. I mean, it was a pristine place. And so for this person, going above and beyond to really improve her health, it wasn't, over the top. For her, it was like, this is necessary, right? So I would say the conference was really good. We had a lot of industry professionals that I still keep in touch with today that were like, wow, this is amazing. Everything you're saying makes so much sense. I can't believe I haven't been doing things this way for 10 years. And then you had some people who were, I don't want to conform to doing stuff like that. And, they think that it's just not necessary because mold is part of our ecosystem. It's been a part of it for thousands of years. And they're right. But for thousands of years, we haven't been enclosing ourselves in buildings that are getting tighter and tighter every year.
Absolutely.
We were exposed to air quality on an unlimited air basis, right? I mean, look at how much, there's an infinity amount of air outside. So when you go outside and you're breathing that air in outside, it's very different than the tight enclosed spaces in our indoors. And so it's very important that indoor air quality, especially with the amount of breaths we take and the amount of time we spend home today versus that of just a couple of years ago, it's drastically different. And we have to be conscious of it. And think about it, 20,000 breaths per day, that's a lot of breaths, right? I think it's safe to say we're consuming more air than water, food, supplements, anything, right?
And yeah.
I think when you take big, deep breaths, it's so important that your air quality is clean when you're doing that. Otherwise, there's so much contamination that you're entering into your lungs. And with anything smaller than 10 micrometers, the real danger is that it's so small, it passes right through the respiratory tract and it immediately enters the bloodstream. So it's going just straight right to the source, right? And then what happens when something enters the bloodstream? It gets pumped through your heart, through all your organs, and it's just circulating around your body until you eventually detoxify it out.
How can you do that? Like regaining your health after mold exposure?
That's a great question. And there's doctors that specifically focus on this. Basically, sure. The philosophy is to get on binders. And, there's controversy around that as well. But essentially, you're looking to help detoxify everything from your body, get rid of the toxins, antifungals, binders, things that are going to help just remove it from the body. I recommend exercising, sweating more is important. Infrared saunas are great for that. Traditional steam saunas, really nothing wrong with either. Just you just really need to just detoxify the way the body does. And anything that you can take supplement wise to help with that, good anti-inflammatory diet.
Perfect.
I don't know if you've heard of that, but you know, mold, one of the big problems with mold too, is it causes inflammation inside the body. Any anti-inflammatory diet you can have where just you're just easy on the gut and the organs is going to help too. And so, yeah, I mean, it's part of it, right? You want to stop the exposure that's constantly entering the body and then help the body detoxify and get back to normal.
Love it. So for those who are listening, when Michael says binders, he's talking about things like, let's say, chlorella, yep, which is going to bind to toxins in your body and help to gently detoxify your systems, or even something like activated charcoal, which does a similar effect. And also both of those will be anti-inflammatory for your system as well. One may work better than another depending on your specific system and sensitivities. For me, activated charcoal in small amounts works great. In large amounts, I get some digestive challenges. But I take chlorella every single day, and that's binding to these types of toxins and microbials and fungus and things like that, and helping your body to gently eliminate them from your systems.
Yes, thank you. That's a perfect explanation.
I'm curious about, and this may be a little bit of a left turn, as I like to say, but what about the mold that sometimes grows on food?
Yeah, I mean, mold, I think in general, consuming mold, it can be a bit challenging for someone who is dealing with, you know, potentially toxicity issues. I think that mold on your bread, mold in your coffee is a big one. If anyone listening has ever heard of Dave Asprey, that gentleman is a big advocate for mold in your coffee. Literally created an entire company around that called Bulletproof, and that whole lifestyle and diet. And I mean, when I first heard that, it was like amazing. This is somebody in the mainstream talking about mold and mycotoxins, you know. And I think that anything, the peanuts are another, you know, high moldy food that could contain a lot of mold. Anything that's kind of comes from these humid areas and gets stored in humid canisters for long periods of time, like peanuts and coffee and things like that, you know, you want to be conscious of that. Even coffee makers, you know, little household appliances can get mold. If you have a front loading washing machine, mold grows around that gasket mm-hmm. quite a bit. You know, definitely recommend checking that out, making sure that you're opening it up and letting it air dry in between. Coffee makers, you know, are notorious to harbor mold. So they have all these gaskets that, again, just doesn't allow things to fully dry. It's designed so that it can stop the flow of water at the drop of a hat. But the problem is that when you have these gaskets that stop and allow water to flow, what happens is when it does stop, it does trap moisture there. And even though it's a little bit, it's just every day it traps some moisture, allows that, again, that opportunity for mold to grow. We know mold's already part of our ecosystem. You're going to have some mold into the air, not a lot, but you'll have some. And so opportunistically, if it falls near the coffee maker and gets inside of it, and you have trapped moisture there that stays wet for longer than 24 to 48 hours, which is very, very possible with these household appliances, it can start to grow. So I had a coffee maker that lasted me probably about 4 years. I just had to buy a new one myself this past month. I'm very good at this because I know about it. I take all these parts apart. I clean them. I let them dry. But unfortunately, with these rubber gaskets, you can have trapped moisture underneath the gasket. You can't see. You can't clean. You can't access it. And mold can start to grow there. And, you know, I mean, I did everything that I possibly could. I guess I got 4 years out of it, so it's not terrible. But I had a cup of coffee one morning. Mm-hmm. I take a sip, and it was just, I mean, it just instantly tasted like mold. And I quickly spit it out in the sink, dumped the coffee down the drain, and picked up the coffee maker. And I took it apart. I tried cleaning it. But again, there was nothing visibly there. So it must have been behind one of the gaskets, something that you couldn't see, couldn't clean it. So I said, you know what, it's time for this guy to go. Took it down to the trash and had to buy a new one.
Wow. Yeah, because you were explaining before, unless it's a certain size, you won't be able to see it, but mold could still be there.
Yeah, you can't, you know, it could fit in the tiniest of places. And so, it, you know, if it's tucked underneath the gasket and you can't even see it or access it to clean it, but the water passes through it, you know, it's going to pick it up on the way out. And that's exactly what was happening, because is the only explanation for my coffee to literally, I mean, it was so strong. It was like the strongest mold. And it was the craziest thing, because literally the day before, you know, maybe it was slowly getting into the, you know, getting into the cups as I used it, but it wasn't that like mm-hmm. I didn't notice it this time.
And then
it was
one
just
day,
overwhelmingly powerful. Yeah, it was just literally overnight.
Wow.
The day before, totally fine. Had a great tasting cup of coffee. The next day, shot. So, you know, it's crazy how this stuff can happen. I'm a mold expert, right? I do everything I can to prevent this. Sometimes it's still not preventable, right? And that makes things challenging. That's why you got to really just pay attention, look for signs of water intrusion, look for signs of water damage, you know, those coffee looking stains that can appear on your ceilings or walls. When you see those, act fast, because all it takes is 24 to 48 hours mold to start to grow. And then it creeps up, where all of a sudden it's a musty odor that you're smelling. You're like, this is weird. Something's happening here. You know, unfortunately, our society, we're so reactive. We're not proactive. So we literally don't fix stuff until we feel like, you know, we have to. A window leaks once, we may not even repair it until it, you know, becomes this problem where it leaks twice or three times. Now you start to see stains around it. Now you're like, all right, I guess I got to make that call. If we shifted our viewpoint to being a person who's more proactive, like doing an annual inspection of your roof or your doors and windows, right? And being told by a professional, hey, you probably have, you know, a year on your roof, or you have, you know, a year on your windows and doors before you got to, you know, redo the waterproofing membrane or what have you. That would give you a better idea of what to do. And honestly, it's going to cost a lot less if you're proactive than if you're reactive, because now you just got to replace the windows, or you got to replace the sealant around the windows, as opposed to having to do that and do remediation on the inside.
Such a good suggestion. I think we could all take a tip from you on that, and annual inspections, or, you know, making sure that you're being proactive rather than reactive is a great recommendation in all aspects of our lives. So I have a quick story for you. I recently moved into a condo. My husband and I bought a condo, and we're in Southern California, very close to the ocean. So there is a large prevalence of mold in just our town, our city, this part of the state. And when we moved in, we didn't find any mold, or nothing showed up in the inspection, but the washer and dryer was here from the last owners, and we've kept it, you know, for now until it breaks, and then we'd get a new one. But the top came off at one point inside the washing machine, and I looked in there, and it's pretty full of mold. And what we did is, and now I'm not sure it was the right thing to do, we ran a load without any clothes in there with just bleach and water, and thinking that the bleach would kill the mold. But at the same time, it's very possible that the mold has already, at least the spores, spread into other places.
It
is
possible,
true?
Yeah, especially if the lid was off. You know, it had easy access from inside the drum to then, you know, aerosolize outside of that and get in other areas. If the HVAC was on, it could be pulling air too. Because what our HVAC does is it doesn't just circulate air, but we have these big returns. And what happens is when it kicks on, it starts pulling air towards the return. You know, if you have mold elsewhere in the house, even if it's hidden behind a wall, it's going to pull everything towards the center of where that return is. So thing, you know, mold, again, is so small, it fits in tiny little cracks. and it gets drawn out from those areas into the space. So if that lid was open, even if it was closed, I'm sure it's not hermetically sealed, right? It's going to pull into the environment.
Fascinating. Well, my husband and I both have some of those symptoms that you stated at the beginning of our conversation, whether it's allergies that just don't seem to go away or itchy skin or eczema. I have digestive issues. So I'm really interested in getting to the bottom of it to see what type of mold we may have and what needs to be done to get rid of it. So for people like myself who are interested and want to have things tested out and looked at, how can people get in touch with you, ask you questions, and work with All American Restoration?
Yeah, so the good place to start is you can follow me on Instagram at The Mold Medic. And then if you are interested in the book, you want to learn a little bit more information about my journey and things like that and kind of get an understanding of some of my philosophies, get ahead and go to themoldmedic.com. Pick up yourself a copy of the book. It's available as a ebook as well. So if you have a Kindle or a Nook, you know, it's on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, feel free to grab that as well. The other resource that I have is if you go to allamericanrestoration.com, that's our service-based business that does help with the technical remediation that we do every day. But there's also a ton of free resources on there, such as how do I find a good mold inspector? And it'll tell you all the mold inspectors that are closest to you. For you, you said you're in Southern California. So the mold guy is in Southern California. That's who we work with. That's in your area. And yeah, awesome. you can definitely reach out to them and do an inspection. I highly recommend it based upon what you're telling me. If at nothing at all, at least it gives you peace of mind knowing that it isn't mold.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great suggestion. So for everyone listening, I'll of course link all of that below in the show notes for easy navigation at The Mold Medic on Instagram, themoldmedic.com and allamericanrestoration.com. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners before I ask you one more question about yourself?
Yeah, just I'd like in closing argument, you know, I'd like to basically state that, you know, what I'm really aiming to do here is increase the awareness about air quality and how it could potentially impact our lives. And, you know, just to remind everyone of, you know, we take 20,000 breaths per day. It is actually mind-boggling how we always look at, you know, let's get some more milk alternatives or, you know, let's change our diets. And I agree with all of that. I do that as well. But it's what's really mind boggling to me is we've never looked at air quality really in terms of optimizing our health. And we always just go to diet and exercise. And again, I agree with those things. But I think also air quality, it plays such an important part of our lives and we never look at it when we talk about optimizing our health. So I just want to make that point very clear. You know, it doesn't mean that you have mold. There's other things that impact air quality, but definitely, you know, get your air quality checked just as a measure of making sure that it's not impacting your health and that your air quality is good. That would give everybody peace of mind and help put things in the right direction.
Awesome. I love your passion and your mission to really help people. And with these 20,000 breaths that we all take every day to really optimize our wellness from the inside out based on not only what we're eating or in how we're moving our bodies, but what we're breathing. I think you're right. It's absolutely essential.
Yes. And thank you for giving me this platform to share my story and help with our mission.
Love it. Absolutely, Michael. So in closing, I'd love to ask you what's something that you feel grateful for today.
I think I'm really grateful to talk to you today and to, you know, get connected. And hopefully I've, you know, created some awareness with some of the listeners today. Hopefully there are some people that have some red flags going off and are like, hey, you know what? I definitely am going to get my air quality checked. You know, if I can help at just one person every day realize that, you know, fix something that they had no idea was causing them concern and it was because of air quality. Just one person a day. I feel grateful for that.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you're a very inspirational human. What you're doing is outstanding. You're really helping people. And I want to thank you not only for your time today, but for all the ways that you're helping people ongoing now
Thank
and
you
in
so
the
much.
future. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's interview, and although the format for this episode was a little bit different than what you may have been used to in the past, I'm just so pleased to finally release this interview and hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, feedback, or requests, please email me. Alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. Please be sure to follow along on Instagram with me at What's Wellness Podcast and at Alia Yoga. You can tune in to audio recordings of my classes through my other podcast, simply called Alia Yoga, and purchase the video recordings from my website, which is, you guessed it, aliayoga.com/shop. Thank you once again for tuning in today. Be kind to yourselves and to one another, and have a wonderful rest of your day and rest of your week. Until next time, be well.